The word I'm referring to is a word that's found 20 times in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 John. You may be onto it. If you're familiar with these chapters, the word is abide. A-B-I-D-E, abide. So our topic today is going to be abiding in Christ. That's what the theme of these two chapters really is, in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3. As I said, many, many times, over 20 times we have the word abide. Now you're going to say, and if you're a quick count, you're looking at your King James Version and you're saying, I don't see 20 times. It's because the English translators, almost 400 years ago, didn't use the word abide in English for every single time the Greek word meno was used. But we're going to do a word study on that Greek word meno, M-E-N-O, if you want to study it later from your concordance, if you're interested, later this afternoon or tonight. And we're going to see that many times it's translated abide, but many others, different words that are very similar to it. But you know, it's always good. It's always good when you pick a word to study, to begin by looking at how do we use it in the English. And then let's see how God defines the word. Because we see the word abide, you may or may not use that frequently in your own everyday language. The English definition for the word abide really has four different meanings. And I'm going to look at all four, and then we're going to hone in on two of them that the Bible particularly defines its own meaning to the word abide. And the first, if you open up like a Webster's dictionary, the first thing you're going to see next to the word abide is a definition that has something to do with waiting for, to wait for someone. So to abide, I'm abiding for my friend, perhaps to come over. That would be the flavor of one definition for the word abide. Another one is to bear patiently. You abode the circumstance with much patience. In other words, you really take patiently, you wait or bear patiently, whatever the circumstance you happen to be in. A third definition in the English is to remain stable or fixed in a state. So to abide is to remain stable or fixed in a certain state. Let's take an example. Let's say a state of euphoria. For us, on this earth, how often does a euphoric condition or state remain in you? Not too long usually, right? You might get real excited about something, and then maybe 2-3 hours later, or maybe a day later, or perhaps if it's really something great, a week later it begins to wane and you forget about it, and you're back to the regular stuff of everyday life. Well, that's what we mean by abide, to remain stable or fixed. He abode in that state of euphoria for a whole week. That would be another way to look at that word abide. The fourth and final English spin on the definition for abide is to continue in a place. We abode in this OCAW Union Hall for about 3 hours this morning. So to remain in a certain place physically. That's what the word abide also connotes, that definition. As I went through the four definitions, did any of them seem to mix with what you understand the Bible to define as abiding in Christ? Yeah. And we're going to start with the third one in the English, which I read earlier, to remain stable or fixed in a state. Our example was a euphoric state. I want you to think about that now as we look at the Bible's definition of abiding in Christ. Because, after all, what's the purpose of studying this word meno, or abide, today? Think about that. What do you want to get out of this study today? How about some tools to use during the week that would help you get closer to God? How about leaving here today with a strategy for how to live my life starting tomorrow more effectively for God? Those are noble and worthy causes, aren't they, to really pay attention to this one word we're going to look at in the short time we have together this morning. So I want you to think about that. We're just not going to go through a lot of different examples or passages of Scripture for no reason. We want to come out of here today with understanding how I can better abide in Christ, because I'm going to benefit by it. I really am. And we're going to see why in a moment. So let's look at how the Bible defines the word abide with remaining stable or fixed in a particular state. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, speaking of Christ, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Did you see the word abide? What verse was it in? 6. He that saith he abideth in Him. I say I abide in Christ. What is that saying? I'm a Christian. I walk around and say I'm a Christian. I'm of the family of Christ. I abide in Christ. What was the meaning of abiding in Christ in that verse? Wasn't it remaining fixed or stable in one state? What state was that? In Christ, whatever that means, and we're going to study that in a little bit. But verse 5 said, whoever keeps his word. That's where the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. I'm in Christ if I abide in Christ. And what did verse 3 and 4 say? How do I can say anything I want. I can say I'm a millionaire, but if you check my bank account, you're going to find out otherwise. I can say I abide in Christ, but where's the proof? The proof is in the pudding of walking in His commandments. Verse 3 and 4 said, if we know Him, we will keep His commandments. So that's one way, that's a gut check I can do right now, today, and say, do I really abide in Christ? Do I really? Am I walking in Him? Did Jesus Christ ever have a bad day? Think about it. Did He ever go for a whole morning at work and kind of get sucked into the complaining that people do and the moaning and perhaps the back talk, the gossip? Think about it. Think about your own life now. How many times are you not abiding in Christ? Well, the Bible tells us here that one way we can find out if we are abiding in Christ is we're following His commandments. That's pretty easy. It's easy to understand that, to be in the state of being in Christ. If I'm in Him, what am I? Somebody give me another synonym. If I'm in Christ, I am. It begins with an S. Saved. Very good. Saved. So it's another way to check. Am I saved? Am I in Christ? Have I been saved from God's wrath, as we heard earlier in the Sunday school message this morning? Am I? Well, that's what we're studying this morning. Let's continue on. How about 1 John chapter 2, verse 10? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. What's the analogy that the Apostle John is using under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? What would happen if I woke up in the middle of the night, I didn't go switch on a light, and I tried to make my way into the bathroom, and it was pitch dark, and somebody else in the household happened to leave a few toys strewn about the hallway of the upstairs? I'm going to stumble on them, aren't I? Yeah. But if I flip the light switch on, I'm going to be able to see, and therefore I won't stumble. So the Bible says here that he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no stumbling. So what's another way I can determine if I am in Christ or if I'm abiding in Christ? Do I love my brother? That's a totally different topic for a whole sermon. How do I love my brother? But that's one area I can look at. Am I loving my brother? And to see, am I really in Christ? Or am I stumbling? Am I interested in myself all the time? Am I very selfish? Am I self-centered? Am I more worried about my own comfort than I am about those around me? Do I really care about my brother's salvation? Isn't that the ultimate love for a brother? To see that person saved. Why do some of you missionaries here go to a foreign country and pass out tracts for 10 days straight? Or go to go down to the Citizens Bank Park in before a Phillies game and hand out tracts for an hour to share the gospel on the Sabbath? Because you don't even know these people. But we're all brothers and sisters on this planet Earth, aren't we? And to love our brother, we're sharing the gospel because we want to see them saved. That's the most important. So do I have an earnest desire to see my brethren saved, forgiven of their sin too? Because when judgment day comes, it's too late. That's another way I can say, am I abiding in Christ? Is there light? Or am I kind of in darkness? Do I just care about myself? To care about only myself is to be in darkness. Let's go to verse 24, same chapter. Now here we're going to see the word abide three times, but you can say, wait a second, take a look at verse 24. I don't see the word abide three times. Remember I said earlier, the word meno in the Greek, which is translated abide, is also translated other ways, and we're going to see it three different ways in this verse. Verse 24 of 1 John chapter 2. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So what's this verse saying? Let me read it again. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning? The gospel. You're right, the gospel. When I hear the gospel, remember Christ gave the parable about the seed that fell on rocky soil? It popped up real quick, but then as soon as the sun came down and scorched it, it had no root and it just died. So what I heard from the beginning was, I'm sharing the gospel. I'm reading the Bible. I'm hearing the truth. Is it abiding in me? Or do I let it kind of just, do I forget about it? When you get up in the morning, do you read the Bible before or during breakfast? And then as soon as you get into work, it's as if you never read it before, or at least not that day. And you're just like everybody else, and you're complaining, you're angry. You're whatever. You're just acting like anybody else. You're insubordinate to your superior. Maybe not in front of him or her, but maybe with everybody else in the lunchroom, you're talking just like them about how wrong everything is in the company. Well, the Bible says that if you've heard that from the beginning and it stays in you. So do you get the idea? Abiding is to have it stay. Don't lose it. And then we read here, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. There's the word meno, remain. So you see the word abide means to remain. It stays. It's solid. You know what one thing I have done recently in the last couple of, maybe 2 months, I started something new and it's been great because on a Sunday, at some point during the Sabbath, I will write down, I bought a big pack of 3x5 index cards. And there's going to be a verse during Sunday that's really going to hit me, whatever it is. Maybe somebody's teaching and I listen to a message, or I'm reading myself and studying. And I write that verse on a 3x5 card. And you know what I do? I fold it once. And from Monday through Friday, I stick it in my pocket next to my work bag and I put it in my pocket and I have it there all day. So if I'm sitting there waiting for the train in the morning, I take it out and I read it. Or if I'm taking a break at work, I take it out of my pocket and I read that verse. You know what that? I did that because of studying this word abide a few months ago. And that's what it means to me. It's like the only way that's going to remain in me, meno, Greek word meno, remain. The only way God's word that I heard that Sabbath is going to remain in me is if I keep reminding myself of it by pulling it out of my pocket every day. And I tell you, it works. If you've never done that, I encourage you to try. It's a great way to have God's Word remain in you. And it's a theme, hopefully, that you've studied or you heard or it really hit you on Sunday and it stays with you all week. It gives you strength. It's just, we need food. Many of us need food three times a day to remain active, alert, strong. Well, you need God's Word. And that's an easy way if you can't carry a Bible in your pocket to work every day or maybe around the house. if you're home with the kids or whatever your situation might be.
Well, I said that abide was there three times. Where's the third place that abide is in verse 24? The last part of the verse. Ye also shall continue in the Son. There I am. That word meno is translated continue. Ye shall abide in the Son. So there we see it. You're remaining in Christ. You're fixed in a state. Remember, we're in that definition of being in that euphoric state. Is it one example? I'm in that state of being in Christ. How many of you can identify with feeling awesome spiritually on Sunday, but maybe by Tuesday night, things are a little tougher? That's the whole goal here. The goal of this message this morning is to abide in Christ all week long, so that as good as I feel Sunday, as energetic as I am about God's things, that stays with me all week through all the trials of life. That's the key. We're learning a little bit today how to do that. Well, let's go on. Verse 27 of the same chapter, we're going to see the word abide twice. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. See, that anointing is from God the Holy Spirit. That's God's grace remaining in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's the beautiful piece of the salvation picture for the believer. You know the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints? That means that if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. Isn't that a beautiful truth that God gives us? So even though I stumble and fall during the week, I have a bad month, if I'm saved, God will never let me fully slip into that slippery slope that heads to hell. Thank God. Now, my bad actions are going to have their own consequences, but abiding in Christ as far as spiritual salvation, I'll never lose it if I've been saved. What a great comfort that is. It really is soothing for the saved person's soul. Verse 28 of the same chapter, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What's that saying? Continue in him. Abide in him. Continue in him. Why? There is coming a day when the world will end. And guess what? If you got sucked into the ways of the world too much, you're going to feel ashamed. When Christ comes back, you say, it's all over. What was so bad? What was so tough about staying in Christ and doing it His way all that time? Why was I so weak and let myself stumble? Not reading God's Word with a good discipline three times a day. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, I love the Lord and I meditate in His Word morning, noon, and night. And that's a good prescription to follow. You should be in this Word at least three separate times a day if you really want to abide in Christ. Because when He shall appear, I'm going to have confidence. I'm going to be excited when I see Him on the clouds. And the world's going to end. Instead of being ashamed before Him at His coming because I let the world's cares take me away. And I was weak. And I didn't avail myself of all the opportunities that God gives us today through the Bible and the many means we have of spiritual food that we can constantly feed ourselves with every day. Let's continue on. I said there was a fourth English definition, which is the second one and the last one we're going to look at. The word abide, we just looked at being fixed in a state of mind, a state of salvation. Now we're going to look at the word abide when it says in the English to continue in a place, physically. The word abide, meaning I abode. Anybody here go to Peru 3 weeks ago with Family Radio? Well, I abode in that foreign country for 10 whole days. All right, they were physically in that country. Well, the Bible talks about abiding in Christ, and there's a certain physical aspect to this as well. Let's look at Luke 1:56 to see how God defines the term this way. Luke 1:56. And Mary abode with her, that's her cousin Elizabeth, 3 months and returned to her own house. The word abode is the past tense of the word meno in the Greek, so it's our same word. And what's the flavor here? It's exactly what we just talked about with that fourth English definition of abide. She was physically with Elizabeth in her house for about 3 months. So you see how God uses the word this way? It's a little different. Abode. Well, let's go to 1 John 2, verse 14 now. Back to our original chapter from our text this morning. 1 John 2:14. Let's remember the definition of abide here, being in a place. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. What do we mean by abiding here in the physical sense? Where is the word of God abiding? Because it says here, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. There's a great benefit to having the word of God abide in you. But again, what does the word abide mean there? How can the word of God abide in me? What's it talking about? Because the word of God, I mean, I can't chew the page and swallow it and have the word of God. I mean, I could do that, but I'll probably get sick if I eat this paper with all this printing on it. How does the word of God abide in me? What is it talking about? Where is it abiding? Physically now, look at the human anatomy. How does it abide in me? Yeah, you're right, Tom. The heart of man, which is also part of my mind. So my whole inner being is where the word of God abides. Because when I read it, when I remind myself of it, when I study it, when I think on it, when I meditate, it's abiding in here, in my mind, my heart, my inner being. So do you see how physically that works? It does. Because once I'm dead, so goes my brain, my mind. It's all part of the physical anatomy. That's where the word of God needs to abide. And what happens if it does? I can overcome the wicked one. You see that? You see the benefit of God's word abiding with you? You overcome the wicked one. Because he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're in a warfare. This world is bent on sin. And the only way you're going to survive is if the word of God is abiding in you more and more. All right, let's keep going with that same theme. Verse 15 of the same chapter. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's a great encouragement there. We're studying the angle on the word abide physically now. I'm in a place. I remain in a place. The word of God in my mind, my heart. Now it's talking about something different. I will abide if all these things are true from verse 15 and 16. I'm not sucked into the world, the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Because the world's going to pass away. It's going to go up in flames. It's all going to go. But if I do the will of God, I will abide forever. Physically, where am I going to abide forever if that's true of me? What's it called in the Bible? Not just some ethereal concept. When all this stuff goes up in smoke, yeah, heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. That's where I will abide forever, the new heaven and the new earth, with my new glorified spiritual body. It's going to be an awesome thing. What a condition to be in. Is the latest brouhaha over the Philadelphia Eagles and Terrell Owens, is that worth anybody's time? Really? No. No. All that stuff, the pride of life, the cares of the world, no. All that stuff's going to burn up. Don't get sucked into all that stuff during the week. The person who has not the world's cares on their mind, verse 15, verse 16. Verse 17 says, you will abide forever, the new heaven and the new earth. Because if you don't, if you're identified with this world, you're going to abide in a different place physically. Hell. Damnation. The lake of fire. That's a big difference from the new heaven and the new earth. We can't get more of a dichotomy than between those two places of eternal existence. Because every single human being will abide, physically abide, in one of those two places once the world ends. Hell or the new heaven and new earth. One or the other. Good motivation, isn't it? To abide in Christ. How about verse 19, same chapter? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The word abide was not there, but the word meno is in that verse, and it's translated. Who can guess how that word meno is translated in that verse? Continued, you're right. They have continued with us. They would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. So what happened? They didn't stay with the group. They left. And they did not continue physically with us, which also showed that they were not with us in spirit. Their mind, their philosophy, their belief was not with us, so they left. And we knew, that made manifest that they were not of us after all. What happened to Judas? Was he really with Christ spiritually? No. And what happened? He didn't continue with the 12, did he? The other 11 went on because he went and killed himself. He hung himself when he figured that when he found out what his betrayal really did. And sadly, he no longer continued with the 11 apostles. It showed, it manifested, he was not with them. He was not of them. Let's keep going. 1 John chapter 3 now. Let's go to the next chapter, verse 24. The last verse of chapter 3. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We're still in this topic of the word abide, meaning something about the physical presence, the physical place where I'm abiding. Hereby we know that he abides in us, how? By the Spirit which he hath given us. What's the meaning, what's the flavor of this verse with abide physically? What's happening? Who's abiding where? The Spirit of God is given to us. That's how we know that He abides in us. How does Christ abide in me? Physically, He's in me. How? Through His Spirit. Think about that. It's a very complex concept. But God's Spirit, actually, if I'm a believer, if I am saved of all my sins and forgiven, truly saved, the Spirit of God abides in me. Isn't that amazing? Physically, that Spirit is in my body. I have a new resurrected soul, and God's Holy Spirit is in me. Think about that. That's real. That's why the body is called the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're not to abuse it. And interestingly enough, God also says, if my Spirit's in you, then you abide in me. So I'm with Him too. How is that possible? But it is. The Spirit of God, if it's in me, if He's in me, I'm in Him. Physically. Amazing. Amazing. Think about that the next time you are tempted to abuse your body. in whatever means that might be. Let's go to verse 9 of that same chapter, 1 John 3:9. This is the crux of the matter, 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What's the word meno translated as there? Remain, remaineth. Verse 9, for his seed remains in him. His seed abides in him. Whose seed? God's seed. God's seed abides in me. That's what it means to be born again. That's the issue here. Am I born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Nicodemus thought he had to go back into his mother's womb. Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born of God means his seed remains in you. It reaches, when you read the Bible, is that seed coming into fertile soil that's going to take root and be strong and flourish forever? Or when you read God's Word, is that stony ground, and as soon as the sun comes, it withers away and dies? That means God's Word was never, and His Spirit, His seed was never planted in you. It just kind of brushed by you, and it kept going, because you actually went the other way. Are you born again? If you're born again, you are abiding in Christ, and He abides in you. Isn't that a beautiful concept today? Abiding in Christ. May God give us all this whole week the strength, the victory, the knowledge, the enjoyment of abiding in Christ. And if you are not abiding in Christ, it all starts with this. Ye must be born again. Amen. Well, we're going to close with a hymn. And I apologize to Terry.